In this episode, JJ worries about a couch, Samantha tells us about a pet chicken, Mike does a lot of follow-up reading, and I really, really don't like the puppets. This is Return to Oz.
Our new platform where
we did we made a technological upgrade here at Funsphere Movie Club. Hi. It
does look a lot spiffier.
I'm Josh. Yes. What the hell was that? Yes, Mike, it just a little behind the scenes, we moved from Skype to show you how old we are. And we are now on...
It's so much louder than
I know. They're so loud.
Discord, and Samantha has been kind enough to show us old farts around it, and we are all amazed by the technology of a soundboard. So
if you open the soundboard and click soundboard volume, you can turn it down.
All right. That's going to half. That's still too loud.
I'm putting mine at 18%.
25%.
I picked 12 for myself. Okay. Wow. Okay. that is such a dangerous tool to have.
Well, we shouldn't be playing around with it because the users or the audience will never hear this.
Yeah, I know.
We tested it. It doesn't come through.
Just don't talk about
them. Now watch it, of course, when we actually upload the audio files, they will totally be there, and I'll be like, son of a bitch, I gotta mute these or something.
You can just leave them on. I won't play any of the songs.
I appreciate that. Okay, so today we are talking about a Samantha pick. Samantha, why don't you tell us what we're talking about today?
Return to Oz.
I loved how we were like, yeah, we're totally not going to use the soundboard. 2 seconds later, here we go.
I said the songs.
You did. That's true. All right. And so for those of us, including myself, who did not know prior to watching this, Return to Oz is a 1985 dark fantasy film released by Walt Disney Pictures. It stars Nicole Williamson, Jean Marsh, Piper Laurie, and Fozria Balk as Dorothy Gale in her first screen role. This is an unofficial sequel to the MGM
kinda.
The Wizard of Oz film.
Kind of.
Yep, and is based on L. Frank Baum's Oz novels, which is apparently a combination of The Marvelous Land of Oz, Ozma of Oz, and I think it takes a few other ones. A few other beats from a few other novels. By any chance, do you guys know how many Oz novels there are?
No, but this, I've said rewatching this, it got me, I feel like the Oz lore in this movie is way more interesting than whatever they did in the MGM one. I don't know how many.
Okay.
I think there's probably 3 or 6.
More or less than Animorphs, Josh?
Way less than Animorphs, because 54 Animorph books, plus like 4 Megamorphs, plus a couple spinoff thingies. So
okay, so but to answer JJ's question, it is less, but it is slightly less. So the original run were 14, and then there's something called the rest of the famous 40. These are one. I'm sorry.
There's one called Queer Visitors from the Marvelous Land of.
Yes. So apparently this is one where, the author changed, but, the books kept going, and there are technically, there are 40 Oz novels, especially weird.
It's
since
too many.
Something. Yes. Far too many. Especially weird since the original book, and this is something I learned back in high school, was an allegory for an economic transition that was happening at the time. Does anybody know what that was?
The Industrial Revolution?
Partially. Partially.
Great.
Partial credit
Depression?
For Mike. Nope. Prior to that. This was about
Wait, I'm not done. Okay. People leaving farms and going to the cities to work. And that's why
Gold Rush.
Kudzu is rampant.
All right. JJ, any guesses on your end?
I have no idea. I was going to go with the kudzu being rampant.
Okay, so this is all about the transition from when America left the... used to have a standard based on both gold and silver for
Rubies.
Backing up the U.S. dollar.
The gold standard.
And then we went solely to gold, and it caused huge fluctuations in silver. So real quick, to finish up this part, your scarecrow is the symbolism for
the
agricultural
straw
movement.
People use.
Yes. The Tin Man is the representative for the industrial group. And the Cowardly Lion is a shot at the guy who was against Willard Fillmore as a presidential candidate. And he was called a lion because he was very anti-war, very anti, moving away from the gold and silver standard. And, Fillmore famously called him a cowardly lion. So that's where he comes from in the book. All right. Now that history class is over, why don't we talk about this fucked up movie?
I love this movie.
Jesus. Okay. So tell us how you came to be familiar with this movie and why you love it, Samantha.
Girl, I don't even know. My mom at some point rented it for me when I was very little. Obviously, it came out before I was born, I'm pretty sure. Or the year I was born. I think before.
No, it was 85.
Okay, so a couple years before I was born. And then I remember loving it. I remember when I was really, really little, this was one of my favorite movies ever, and I watched it all the time, and I really wanted a pet chicken because of Belina. like, my mom even got me, like, a stuffed hen that I carried around everywhere. And I used to always, like, dig in the dirt and hoping to find a key. Like, I loved this movie. And then when I was a little bit older... I remember watching it because I hadn't seen it in a while, and it terrified me. Like, I was so scared of it. So I didn't watch it for a little bit longer, and then I watched it a few years later, and I was like, oh, I love it again. And I love that it's creepy. So
had you watched the older one as well?
I had, and I've never liked it. I've always found it boring.
Oh, wow.
And way too long. Like, I've never liked it, but I really liked this one. I remember being confused when I was younger, like, how is this a sequel? Why is Dorothy, like, 5 now? but then I realize now it's not really a sequel to that movie. The only thing that carries over, kind of, is the ruby slippers. And then they kind of, being ruby instead of silver. And then some plot points. But, like, it introduces Ozma, who I learned is, like, a big part of Ozlore. In the novels,
yes.
Like, she's their original ruler. What's her name? The lady with the heads.
Mombi?
Mombi, yeah. She's one of the witches. I forgot which one. And she's actually the first one. I looked this up on Wikipedia. She's one that was usurped the throne from Ozma and then was sentenced to death. And they melt her with water. And she is... So they got that idea in the other movie from Mombi's death. And it was never confirmed that that's how all these witches die. But that's what they took from characters in this. But yeah, it's just something I've watched for my whole life. And I rewatched it like 2 weekends ago when I last time I recorded, actually, and why I suggested it right away. So I was like, I actually really love this movie. It's silly, but... I love the sets. I love the effects. I like her band of characters way more than the original three.
Ooh, that's a bold statement.
I like Jack and
okay.
the Gumbus. I love TikTok.
Jack was the inspiration to the other Jack.
I say he must be, because he really looks like him.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, I like them. TikTok is way better than the Tin Man.
And TikTok had some of the best lines in the film as well.
He did.
I read that that dude had to be upside down and backwards in that suit.
While walking on his hands, which is nuts. Yeah.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Because, yeah, I read that as well, Mike, and I just thought he was just, like, cuddled upside down. And then I was like, oh, no, he was actually on his hands. And no,
like, how the hell do you – I guess they'd have to just tell him, like, take four paces forward and then stop. Yes. Like, because you couldn't see.
Did the costume hold him up?
It must, yeah.
Yeah. That's especially, like, I was thinking, I remember one scene, because we are talking about a film that has practical effects, and it was when they enter that lady's palace, and the floors are dusty, and so literally you see his footsteps.
Yep.
And I was like, wow, can you imagine if you had to reshoot that? You have to, like, re-sprinkle all that dust for this robot guy to walk and then stop on the exact mark where he's supposed to be?
Yeah, you'd have to completely wipe it down and redo it.
Yeah.
I
was like, I hope they got that in one.
Yeah. I really love the throne room in that and, like, the hallway, which is actually because I watched, you know, Big Trouble in Little China after this. And the bad guy's lair is a little bit similar. And that's part of the reason I liked that set so much, is because it reminded me of this set, which I also really love.
Gotcha. Okay. All right, JJ or Mike, do you want to jump in here and say what you thought about it? JJ, you look like you got something
to
say.
Yeah, so I've got a book here, In the Blink of an Eye, from the famous editor, Walter Murch. I think everybody...
Yeah, that's when I saw his name at the end credits, I was like, no fucking way.
Yeah, so that's... I didn't know he directed the film. I just found that out on this viewing. And I've seen the film before, and... then now, like, I want to watch it all over again to see, you know, based on the book that I've read multiple times about editing, that I'm like, oh, what did he do differently in this movie? So there's that part of it. I think that
talking about his book, that makes it even more insane to me. Is because it seems like there are so many just random cuts in this movie.
Yeah.
That don't follow his methodology at all. Like, I was convinced that this was a made-for-TV movie because of all the weird act breaks in it.
Right, but remember, continuity is his, like, fifth thing on the list. Remember, he said, who cares about continuity, right? So it's really the last thing he's worried about. And then, like, watching this, and then after seeing it, I was like, oh, yeah, there's a lot of parts that, you know, like, just throw that out the window. It's fine. yeah, and I have a lot of questions to ask, and I don't know if we're ready to jump into that yet, but the, what was the life dust? So when they sprinkled it on the couch and the leaves and the head of the Gump, is that five or six different parts? Or is it just the Gump that's alive? Like, should it been five different things? Like, because they're all animated, but should they all have life and everything like that? Should we have been upset when the couch was eaten? Like, oh my gosh, that was a person too.
Well, he couldn't talk, so maybe they're alive. Like, a plant is alive.
Yeah, but they work together. Like, you know, so then, I don't know. I was like, oh, there's like five different things here that's alive. And they just ate the couch. And... I don't know. I was kind of devastated by all of that, looking at it now, because I was like, that should have been five different things.
I was more concerned with the fact that those, like, palm fronds were able to hold them up and fly. Like, they were able to fly at all. And
there's that. There's, you know, I think Josh and I have talked about Willow quite a bit. And Queen Bavmorda being the lady. So she's terrifying in this, probably even more terrifying in this than in Willow.
Yes, she is.
And, you know, just how she says, oh, man. Yeah, I mean, I had to walk out the room when she did that. That was, well, and it's right after she said Dorothy Gale when all the other heads, rah! Like, whoa. Like,
screaming.
Yeah, it was terrifying. But there's that. And then, you know, the psych ward. Like, where do what are we trying to establish here so early in this movie? And we just got to go along for the ride.
That she was sending Dorothy to get lobotomized, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Electrically.
Like if they remade this movie now, would that just be something like in Craigslist as a little ad? Because, you know, I mean, she was looking in the paper. It's like, oh, yeah, this
if
seems
they
legit.
Remade it in modern times? Or
yeah.
I don't know. Like, just a bunch of pills. Probably some of the loose fentanyl.
Oh, Dorothy'd become homeless because they got rid of all the, the care for mentally unwell people.
That's true. Yep.
Wow. Okay.
They were basically homeless in that.
Where they were partially. Yeah, partially, because the house wasn't finished yet.
I hate to jump to the end, but like when Belina's like, I'm staying here, I was like, that's right. And they're like, Dorothy, do you want to be a queen? She's like, no, I need to go back to my dirt farm.
Yeah, I gotta go back. Oh yeah, yeah. It's such a weird ending. All of it's weird, and but it was great. Weird. I loved it, and then I want to go back and watch it based off of what Walter Murchis taught us in this book. So that's definitely what I got from it. Right when I saw his name, I was like, "Holy shit!" Like, I need to see this all over again and look at it differently. But I enjoyed every second of it.
Okay, I'll ask just a real quick question about merch, since this guy apparently is like the editor of editors. Like, I saw the movies he's worked on. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a greatest hit list. It's freaking like half of the AFI top 100.
Yeah.
Now, as I understand it, most of the time a director and an editor work pretty much close hand in hand, but you guys think that this doesn't seem like it's anything like his editing. So maybe he got pushed out of the editing room like some directors do on this film?
He actually got fired from the shoot, and then Spielberg and a couple of other people fought for him to get his job back, from what I read.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they didn't like how slow his dailies were progressing.
Oh, I see.
He wasn't meeting quota. Well, I'm glad he came back.
Now, I will mention, this is a very interesting time in the history of Walt Disney, because this was almost at the point they were nearly in financial ruin. They were just about to collapse until The Little Mermaid and Roger Rabbit hit.
Mm.
They were
Love Roger Rabbit.
That was a Disney movie?
Yeah,
it's MGM.
Or
Paramount.
Co-production with Warner Brothers and stuff like that to use their characters, but it was pretty much them. Yeah. Okay. Mike, what did you think of it?
I liked it. It was one of those that I had seen bits and pieces just over the years, mostly syndication.
Okay.
But I didn't have any real memories of it other than it was weird and dark.
Mm-hmm.
And that definitely held up with this watch. And there were a lot of things that the stuff that I didn't like or didn't understand about the movie, going back and reading about it, all of it made sense afterwards. Even stuff like the original three got shafted in this one, and that they supposedly were supposed to have bigger roles, but then time or budget cuts, they had to kind of make them just cameos.
Yeah.
And then the way the Scarecrow looks so stupid in this, he was supposed to have visual effects kind of like the claymation, but again, budget cuts. They couldn't do it. So they just had a couple of different masks that they would swap out that were just stationary.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
Gotcha.
Good. Yeah, it's very, very different from the original. And I do have a deep appreciation for the original one.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of hard. Like, I don't know, finding its place. Like, it's not a sequel, but it kind of is. And
yeah.
I don't know. I can understand both sides of the argument where, like, people were expecting it to be closer to that one, but then they were going off some way different source material.
Yeah.
I really loved, I loved Oz and Ruins. I thought it looked so cool. I loved the broken, I loved Emeralds. I was like, I hope Emeralds City just stays like this. I loved everyone being statues and then the dancers with their heads missing because Mumbi stole them. The Gnome King.
Yeah, the post-apocalyptic Emerald City was really cool.
Yeah. The Gnome Samantha. King was interesting.
And Judy was, not Judy. Dorothy was, I thought, was a great cast.
She was great. She was great.
She looked and sounded like her.
Who do you think wrote Beware of the Wheelers?
I hope the Wheelers wrote that themselves.
With what?
So the whole Wheelers part, I don't know why, but I just started thinking of the Warriors.
Oh yeah, similar. They're pretty scary before they take their masks off.
It was pretty obvious the how they were supposed to represent like this movie's monkeys.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
And I thought it was kind of
It was a very 80s thing.
Right.
I was surprised that that was an actual character in the original.
But remember how they did it in The Wiz, Mike? They had the motorcycle. Yeah. So I was like, ah, it's kind of a good balance between the two, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I hope they wrote it themselves. It's like, yeah, we're scary.
I was like, but how would they like have the marker like, in their mouth?
You have to remember the wheels are they were born with these wheels. They know how to use them.
That's true.
Maybe we're talking about the prequel we want to see now.
Birth of the Wheelers.
The Wheelers of Oz.
Rise of the Wheelers. It's got to be Rise.
Rise of the Gnome King, because he put her in charge and her wheelers were just with her.
True.
Okay. So I will say this. I had no familiarity with this film besides I'd heard like just on some like video essays and stuff like that of people talking about creepy old movies from the 80s and stuff like that, that this one constantly gets brought up. And I was like, it can't be that bad. It's a freaking Wizard of Oz movie. Come on. And then I watched this freak show. And I'll be honest. As someone that has, an affinity for horror films and stuff like that, there are two films that have legitimately scared me in the past decade. Barbarian and this movie. I am serious. I found this, like, I literally had to, like, stop and hit pause several times and go, what the fuck am I watching?
Scared of the Deadly Desert?
Yes, that was like the way they reacted to the Deadly Desert. The headless woman was super creepy. Like the idea of putting Dorothy in a mental institution because they're like, she's like, Oz isn't real. So we're going to shock this poor kid. And, you know, if you know something about history again, you know that during this time, electroshock therapy was a very prevalent usage.
Yeah, plus
not
the,
an effective cure.
The people screaming
not an
in the basement.
Cure. Yeah, exactly. God, yeah. And there's like, I found all the designs of the sets were off-putting. I hated all of the puppets, all of them. Hate them all. Burn them all. Burn them in a fire. But first and foremost, make sure Scarecrow goes first, okay? Yes, he looks goofy, but he's also creepy as fuck. Yeah, burn them all. I want them all gone.
I thought the Gnome King was the scariest.
The poor Tin Man.
The Gnome King was terrifying, especially when he was in the claymation
film. Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. And the faces in the rocks. I really loved how they were like...
Yes. Yeah, or the what were they? They weren't... Were they? They're not orcs. What were they? The
Goombas?
Yeah. Trolls. Trolls. No. Yeah, the trolls.
Goombas. No, they weren't.
Speaking of terrifying, the Goombas.
God, that movie.
Yeah.
But his treasure room was cool.
If I saw this as a kid, I would have pissed my pants. It's not even close.
I saw that as a kid.
And this is someone that grew up watching, Legend. That grew up watching, The Dark Crystal. and stuff like that. So I'm perfectly like comfortable with these dark interpretations, but this one was just a little too much for me personally. I was like, this is just unsettling, and it's a long ass movie too. So I was like, oh geez, this just keeps going. It keeps getting worse. I was like, it's gonna lighten up at some point, right?
No.
And I'm what? Like, no.
You know what I like to think about? Oh, that lunch
What's
pail
that?
Tree.
Okay.
Where did the ham and the sandwich come from? Probably thinking that like all the organic matter that is destroyed by the deadly desert is then absorbed by that tree, and it becomes the meat in the sandwich.
Mm. Mm. Deep lore, I like that.
Because it was
idea.
Right next to the desert.
True. True. Also, like, so the part that, like, got to me the most was the sanitarium part. And then it's like, you know what'll be great? Let's take these children and then drown them in a river right afterwards. Let's put them out in a huge storm. And then the girl that is Ozma, which we don't know is Ozma at first, she's just like, nope, she's gone. She's dead. She's drowned.
She's a force ghost.
Apparently. Like, so I will say out of like, I'm trying to think of what you would compare this film to. You probably put it up against The Dark Crystal and Neverending Story, right?
Yeah, I would throw in Labyrinth as well. It seemed like it was kind of a test Labyrinth. Market to see like the helping hands instead of using yep. Digital effects like they did in Return to Oz. They used the real hands. And then the Rock Biter.
Yeah.
I was like, no, we already know the troubles of trying to make this work. and I don't know which one came first. I don't remember.
I think Return to Oz came out before Labyrinth, because Labyrinth is 1986, and Mike just said this one was 1985. So they probably would have been in production around the same time.
Okay. But yeah, it's, but all of it's terrifying. But it seemed like this one, like in Labyrinth or in Neverending Story, they do a great job of warning you before something happens. But like this, we didn't know anything about the desert. And when the Wheeler hit it, you're like, oh my God. They're like, yeah, touch that and you're dead.
Dorothy did not give a single fuck, though. She's like, just don't touch the sand, Blima, let's go.
Oh yeah, when she's falling, can't help it now. Just accept
she's
your
so
destiny.
Unbothered.
So I'll say that I had to look up something since you mentioned the Rock Biter and how similar he is to the king.
I was expecting this to be a Henson puppets, but they're not. So I wonder if it's sort of the same company behind Neverending Story with some of these things.
So his son is the voice of, right?
Yes, and he's the puppeteer for one of them. Brian
Henson. Okay, so one Henson. Yes, I thought they, but they weren't. They weren't the Imagination Workshop or whatever the fuck it's called.
Right.
No, they were not. And I had to get it. I was like, the Neverending Story did come out the year before. So I was like, maybe that's they decided to improve Rockbiter tech in this film to make it even more creepy. Oh, jeez.
I love that he became more human whenever somebody got turned into an object.
Yeah, when he was absorbing people.
Yeah.
That's, again, was making it even worse. Like, and his, like, in-between phases were still terrifying.
And again, they didn't explain that to you until the very end when he's like, it all become more human. You're like, oh, I just thought it was just budget. They were just trying to sneak this by.
I caught on. Okay, I also, this was validating for Skid, who hates eggs.
That foreshadowing.
Yeah. Oh. So it sounds like you guys have done a lot of reading behind the scenes on this film.
I felt it was necessary.
Yeah.
What did you learn?
Like I said, I've been too terrified to look further into it, personally. I do notice that, of course, they do mention the ruby slippers. That was a creation of the first film.
Yeah. But when they were brought out, though, were you expecting that scene?
Him to put them on?
He's just rocking them like...
Yeah.
Well, that's another thing that I understood after reading, because, like, watching the movie, I was like, why are they introducing them and then they're, like, going through a conveyor belt? All these weird... Like, they keep that scene where they just, like, move back into the rocks. Yeah. I was like, they're being so weird with these slippers. And I read that they got these, like, imitation rubies and then just used an adhesive to get them stuck to the shoes. And the set lights were so hot that it would melt the adhesive. And between that and then she was rough with the shoes, so it would constantly knock them off. So they had to... like really baby them on set.
So then as, oh my gosh, what's his name? The rock guy. I'm drawing
the
a blank
Gnome
on his
King.
Name. The Gnome King. Yes. What size shoe did he wear? If he can just change.
I was wondering that too. Like, well, he. I don't know. Maybe Dorothy has really big feet, or he has really little feet.
I was gonna say. I think it's implied that they changed size to meet their wear.
Well, they didn't make us aware of that. They should have had that as a subplot as well.
They didn't make us aware of that. They should have said that.
I think that's actually lore from the first film, where the Wicked Witch of the East, I guess she would have been, when her feet curl up, you know, in the first film.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden Dorothy, so she had big feet, and then they fit Dorothy, so they changed size.
You're making it make sense.
Yeah, but I was going to say, the big thing was because they used the ruby slippers, because in the books, they're not ruby, they're silver.
Yeah.
Yep. Again, that's the golden, yellow brick road is gold bricks, the silver shoes are silver standard. So to use the ruby slippers, Disney bought the rights to the Oz stories in the 40s. But what they didn't have rights to were the ruby slippers.
Mm.
So they had to pay MGM a ton of cash to actually use them.
Which I read the whole reason why MGM switched from silver to the ruby is to showcase the Technicolor.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Because if they were just silver, it'd be like, all right. Yeah.
Can you imagine walking around with silver shoes, too?
Looking like TikTok.
Yep.
I love TikTok.
I hate TikTok.
Why do you hate TikTok? Josh, I would have... Oh, go ahead, Samantha. Sorry.
No. You go.
I was going to say, Josh, I would have said if we were all represented like a character in this, you would have been TikTok. Mm-hmm. Like, some of his one-liners were great.
I felt so validated because as soon as they introduced him, I was like, okay, why can't he just wind himself up? And then they address it later.
Literally addressed
it's like,
it.
Okay.
No, like literally, I don't like any of the puppets. They're all too terrifying for me to deal with. Like, I don't like the way he walks, although I think it's funny they make him walk that way. And apparently, like in fiction, he's one of the... considered one of the characters to be a proto-robot. Like, the term robot didn't exist until 1920.
Yeah,
he was introduced in, like, 1904 or something. So, it's just, like, I don't like any of them, especially, like, I hate the Scarecrow the most.
Yeah,
I don't like the way the Lion looks. I don't like the way the Tin Man looks. I just...
Poor Tin Man.
They doofus. They literally were like, all right, here's a quick glance at him, and then just move the camera off of him. They spent like... They
just
gave,
back in a corner.
They don't like these dudes anyway. She's got new friends now.
They gave the interns like 15 minutes to come up with a Tin Man, and they did. You can tell. Like, literally, he's like a stovepipe that they just bent around and then like... They got some pipes and spray painted them silver. Like, okay, so I'm gonna bring that up. You're talking about they made such a big emphasis on the new characters, which they obviously did. Did they not seem somewhat disrespectful to the old characters in this film?
Maybe they deserve it. I don't give a fuck. I just like that you could always tell when Jack was either like a model or somebody wearing the suit.
Yes.
Sorry, but
no, it was very. Very obvious. But yeah, I felt like the original three, which again, I'm thinking like if I was a kid in the 80s when I would have seen this, would be familiar with The Wizard of Oz.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be like, why are they so mean to the old characters? Why don't they like them anymore? And you know, this is from a kid that, you know, I'm used to the G1 to G2 transition in Transformers. I've seen old characters get the shaft and be murdered in front of me. Yeah, that's my
Optimus Prime.
This day. So JJ, I don't think I've ever shared my Optimus Prime death story with you. So I'll do so now. When I was a kid, I loved Optimus Prime. I wanted to be Optimus Prime. I had in kindergarten an Optimus Prime lunchbox, an Optimus Prime backpack. But what I was not aware of is I didn't see the movie in theaters when it came out.
Oh boy.
So one Saturday, I am sitting down with a bowl of cereal like I do every time, every Saturday morning, ready to watch Transformers. And what I don't know is coming is that they've cut the Transformers, the movie, into 3 episodes. And I get to see the first episode. And Optimus Prime is killed in front of me. My mother described me as distraught for days afterwards. I think I literally cried every tear I have as a human being in those days. So, yeah, it still gets me to this day, Optimus Prime dying.
I've never thought about it, but I've never seen anything Transformers except for a few episodes of Beast Wars back whenever that came on.
I did watch a little bit of Beast Wars. Was there a Cheetah one? I feel like that's probably why.
Yes, there was one.
Yeah, but I don't know that they ever showed it on anything that I would have seen, like any of the channels. It was just never around.
At least what Josh and I watched. Yeah, and it was a little bit before your time.
Yeah.
I always knew of it, and I was familiar with the toy line. Mm-hmm. I just never saw the show.
That's because when we were growing up, a lot of shows were produced exclusively for syndication. So, you know, it's not like, and then you would have, you could see, that way you could show, say, for example, unlike Disney characters, which would mostly be shown on ABC because Disney owned ABC, when stuff is in the syndication, you could see it on different channels, different times. You would also have, like, you know, we would buy these series as filler shows or have reruns of really, really old TV shows at that time, because that's how TV networks worked. They were a lot more kind of independent, and now they've been a lot more, you know, basically the big four are all owned by, even the syndicated small channels are all owned by like 2 or 3 companies. So they all mm-hmm. show the same thing. Like, you know, when Saturday morning cartoons went away, that was a decision of those companies. They're like, look, we can't really compete with Cartoon Network anymore, or and shows aren't made for syndication. They're now made for streaming services.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the end of that. Okay.
R.I.P. Saturday morning cartoons.
R.I.P. But there was also the Wonderful World of Disney that always showed weird stuff. Back to Return to Oz. That was like Sunday evening, right? That they would, because this came out in the theaters. And what did it come out?
Yes.
Mike, do you remember? Did you read? Was it against Back to the Future when it was released?
Ooh. No, it was. Was it the Goonies?
Oh yeah, I need to look back and
either
see.
Either one is a bad look. Hang on, I'm looking through the history, because it did flop. It had a budget. It had a budget of $28 million and only made 11.
Oh man.
I've read a lot of stories of it being in theaters and a lot of kids leaving early crying.
Yeah, because it was fucked up.
it's terrifying. And then, not to spoil the ending, but you know, the doctor.
Yeah.
What they said happened to him, you're like, do we even care at this point?
He burned in the building, right?
Yeah,
because
he was
trying to get his machines. Yeah.
His precious machines.
It's a smiley face, and here's its tongue. He didn't talk like that.
It's not going to hurt
it
you.
Says the underperformance was its competition against Cocoon, The Goonies, and Life Force.
Life Force?
I've never even heard of Life Force.
Yeah, Life Force is canon. You gotta... Oh, that's a brutal one.
Canon to what?
Oh, canon is a film company that did Breakin' 2. Yeah, all those really bad B-movies, yeah.
Oh, and great movies. Like, Canon did RoboCop. that was them.
Yeah, yeah. Delta Force 1 through 80.
Yep.
That's a lot of films.
That's a lot of films.
You guys been watching The Studio?
No.
Oh, what is you might studio? Like it. It's on Apple. It's Seth Rogen at a movie studio. It's very funny.
Okay.
Just that being that talk of that studio reminded me of that show.
I wonder if he's ever going to release that film that he optioned the book rights to years and years ago about the console wars.
They did a Paramount, like made for Paramount version of it, but it's not as good as the book. Was it Paramount?
Amazon.
Amazon?
No, I think it was Paramount. It was one of those that had just started in, like, what, 2000? 2001?
Yeah. And that was, like, their thing, and so I got a week of it, and I watched it. It was okay, but it wasn't as good as the book.
The book is very good.
It's fantastic.
Yep. But just hearing, you know, Seth Rogen. Well, I can tell you I won't be reading.
So it was a Paramount that I just canceled because of the rehearsal?
Yep.
Have you guys been watching the new season?
I haven't started it yet.
I haven't started it yet either.
It's really good.
kind of a long-winded story here, but Brennan had some of his friends over, and they were watching Blue Velvet. They're 40 minutes into it, and they just stopped. And I'm like, you guys can continue to watch it. And they're like, no, let's watch something. So they started watching a little bit of Nathan For You. But I was like, no. There's something you have to really watch. So we went to season 3, episode 5 of How To with John Wilson per Mike the other day. And they lost it. They were like, what is going on? They had a great time watching it. So thank you for that, Mike. It was so good. It was so good.
I thought you were going to take them to the rehearsal the end of season 1.
No.
That poor kid.
You guys have to watch the second season because the premise is so much crazier. He's going into how there are all these, like, an increase in airport accidents, and he thinks it's because the co-pilots aren't brave enough to stand up to the pilots. But it gets into him orchestrating this, like, American Idol kind of singing competition where he's having them reject people.
Oh my God.
To see how they handle situations. It goes everywhere.
I had a dream last night.
But they
How did you do?
I didn't ever get to perform. I was going to sing MacArthur Park because of Beetlejuice.
Oh.
And they went on break right before my turn, and I never got
to. Did they go to commercial break? Or
no, like lunch break.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
Sorry, Mike.
Well, does anybody have anything left to say about Return to Oz? Besides, it will be haunting me and my dreams for years to come, I have no doubt.
I think everyone should watch it. You can see Piper Laurie from Twin Peaks. And the Gnome King / Doctor plays Merlin in this movie I watched with Skid, I think called Excalibur.
Yep.
So that's fun.
Yeah. Yep. And the young lady that played Dorothy grew up to be in several films.
Yeah.
I found out she was Vicky Valancourt from Waterboy, I kind of lost it.
The Craft.
And The Craft, yes.
But her best movie is The Worst Witch. If you haven't seen
it. I don't think I've ever heard of that.
It's fantastic.
She plays a witch twice.
Yeah.
I would just say this, if I agree with Samantha that everyone should see this, but just know what you're going into.
It's on Disney Plus.
It is on Disney Plus. I don't want to give the impression I think it was a bad movie, because I don't. I think it was a decently told story. It was just fucking bizarre, man. And this is from someone that's seen films like Jacob's Ladder and stuff like that, and I'm like, this is scarier than that. This is absolutely scarier than a lot of horror films, and a lot of even, like, psychological horror films. And it's for children. Explain that to me.
Baby's yeah. first horror film. But I was really, really young when I first saw it. Like, I can't even remember the first time I saw it. I just remember being obsessed with the idea of having a pet chicken because of it. And digging up a key from Oz. But I was really young, and I loved it. I wasn't scared of it at all. And then I got older and learned about scary things, I guess, and then it became scary.
I guess maybe that's just something that, like, that maybe every, I don't want to say every kid, but some kids have. Like, for me, I remember watching, like, Jason and Freddy at, like, 7 or 8 years old, and I love those films. Now they don't really scare me. It's more kind of, I watch them more for entertainment. So maybe that's what this was for you.
Or it's just like all the dark fairy tales.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of stuff made for kids that is pretty twisted when you really look at it. Like Hansel and Gretel.
Yeah. Definitely. Well, like I said, and the fact that it was also made by Disney and they still went this hard is somewhat surprising.
I wish they
would
again.
This was a very interesting time for Disney. They were talking about that in the article I was reading. They were talking about, you know, this is the time they did Flight of the Navigator. This is the time they did The Black Cauldron. Stuff like that. So they were not opposed to making, I guess, some scary films. Are you laughing about Flight of the Navigator, JJ?
I chuckled about it, yeah. It's, movie still confuses me, and I've seen it.
It's very interesting. It's a very interesting film. Maybe we'll watch it some other time on Funsphere Film Club. But for now,
movie club.
We're going to say goodbye.
Blub.
Yep. Goodbye, folks. Bye.
Bye. Bye.